I hear you breaking chains. are you. Quote unquote, to worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Quote unquote, to dance for you. Quote unquote, to sing for you. Quote unquote, to worship you. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout her out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. Nothing's gonna hinder me. Nothing's gonna silence me. Shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to worship your name.
Or doesn't do. I don't care if anybody's silent or anybody is shouting and dancing, but I'm gonna Christ, he deserves even more glory and more honor. That's why there's a dance in my step. That's why I raise my hands and shout. Because he did it over and over and over again. That's why I dance. That's why I shout. That's why I come to the house of the Lord every time the Lord will open. Jesus did. Hallelujah. And David returned to bless his household. And Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious sarcasm was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids and of his servants as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovered himself. David had an I don't care attitude. I don't care what you think. I don't care what anybody else thinks. And David said unto Michael, it was before the Lord which chose me before my father and before all the house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. I don't care what nobody thinks. I don't care what nobody does. And I will yet be more vile than this, and I will be base in thy own sight. And in the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them I behead in honor. I want to give him all the worship. Yes, right. Can we play that one more time? He deserves an encore. I just want to throw the net over the boat one more time and give him some praise. He deserves one more round of applause. He deserves a standing ovation. Take some knees before the Lord. Sister Jane is not well. Sister Davis told me. If there anybody has a knee before the Lord, if you could raise it with an uplifted hand. But also, if you need to be prayed for this morning, we just take a moment before we go any further. God is here. And with this confidence and boldness that you have, that you just will worship before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you can boldly take that confidence before him to his throne right now. We just take a moment. If anybody has a need, feel free to come before the Lord. The Lord is here right now to heal, to meet you right where you're at your present moment in Jesus' name.
Process. I want to say a special thank you to our board of trustees. Just what a phenomenal job, Brother Kellen, Brother Craig, Brother Span. God is good. God is good. Within 3 months of me standing before you, submitting my letter of resignation, you have elected another pastor, and it has been seamless. It has been wonderful. The process, anybody that has had any part of the process can attest to God's hand being involved in it from the very beginning. And so we thank you for that. Just so you know, next Sunday will be my family's final service here and with you. We're looking forward to that, to celebrating with you our last service. We want Brother Montavo to come and just take his liberty, minister to us. Why don't you put your hands together? Welcome to this pulpit, man of God, Brother Montavo.
Amen. You can all be seated in just a few moments. I will tell you this. I am a little jealous of you all. Reason being is I love the Johnsons. They are an incredible couple. You guys are in very, very good hands. Amen. I do believe wholeheartedly in them and in the direction they're going to take this church, and they're going to do amazing things. Now it makes me want to transfer to Sandwich. Amen. They are dear friends of ours. We serve together on the youth committee. But outside of that, I've known them for years, and it doesn't get any better than them. They are Christian. Everywhere they go, everything they say, it's who they are. It's in their DNA. So you guys are blessed to have them. And when I found out, I was like, dude, you could have just came to Life Church. Come on, man. But it is so exciting. He's a dear personal friend of mine, so I'm excited to watch your new journey with the Johnsons. And 20, 30 years down the road, we're going to look back, and I'm going to say, hey, man, remember when you got voted in, and we saw when you guys were starting, and now where you guys are now. Because I do believe that you guys will outgrow this building. You guys will find a new building in Sandwich, amen. Reach the community, the surrounding communities. There is just so many people around here. And I do believe that they're going to be able to take you guys into that next season. Thank you so much to the Wells for their investment in this church, amen. This church would not be where it's at right now had it not been for their investment the last few years. Amen. I do think that's honorable right there. I do think that's what they deserve. Amen. They deserve honor today. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you guys are in great, great, great hands. I'm excited. My wife and daughter are not able to be with me today. We were out of town last weekend, and we were out of town this Wednesday. So they just had a few obligations to take care of at the church, so they were not able to be here with us. But my daughter was excited. She was like, are we going to go to Sandwich? I was like, baby, I'm going to go to Sandwich. You're going to go to Life Church. She's like, but I want to go to their nursery. So she loves your nursery. But that's how she identifies your church, as the cool nursery. So she, you guys have made an impact in her life. Amen. So they do send their greetings. They wish they could have been here, but just unfortunately they cannot. But it's not the last that you'll see of us, so we'll be around more often. Amen. I do want to take your attention real quickly. I do feel like I've got a word from the Lord for you this morning. Just throughout the service, it was just kind of felt like more confirmation coming. So I do feel strongly about the word for the Lord, from the Lord today. So if you could join with me, if you would all don't mind standing for just a few moments. We're going to go turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verse 1 and 3, and then we're going to transition to Matthew 11, so just bear with me. Mark 1, 1 and 3 says, In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, if you could turn with me to Matthew 11, 1 and 6, 1 through 6. I know it's a little lengthy, but just bear with me. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in the cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison, just capture this, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Amen. So we have two passages of John. One, where God, Jesus, is talking about, hey, John is going to come, he's going to prepare, he's going to be the man. And the other passage, John is in jail. The man is in jail. And John is wondering, hey, Lord, you said I was going to do so much for you, but I'm in jail. What does this mean? So I want to talk to you guys just on a small phrase, that your confirmation is in your preparation. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight, God, today for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your word, for your spirit that is already in this place. Lord, we feel your spirit so strongly, God, that you're going to do wonderful things today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you prepare the hearts, the minds of those that are going to hear your word to edify, to build up, and to instruct. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You can all be seated. Amen. If you've ever prepared for something and then you watch somebody else do something that they have not prepared for, you can tell. Amen. Because everything that is worth doing, anything that is going to be successful, that's going to be good, or it's going to be profitable, there is always a degree of preparation. You can't just do something with excellence out of nowhere. You can't just pick up where you left off, and you can't just pick up a task and decide to do it and expect to everything work out great, especially when there's other variables involved. Amen. If you're putting together an event, but you forget to prepare to ask people to help with the event, you're going to be running around like a chicken with your head cut off the day of, because you didn't properly prepare for what's going on. So everything that we do, we must also be aware of the preparation. We can't just face everything and wing it, per se. I used to be a huge winger, I was like, oh, I got a test tomorrow? That's cool. I'll wake up 15 minutes early. I'll cram it all in, go take the test, and be okay, you know, because it's all in my mind. That was my 12-year-old mentality, 13-year-old. As I grow up, it's, okay, well, I got to do this in 3 months, so I'm going to start on it right now. Can anybody relate to that? That it's, you don't wait till like the day before or the week before. It's like months in advance. My wife says, prior planning prevents poor performance. So that is the most annoying phrase I've ever heard. But it's very true. So my wife would always tease me. She's like, you're always late to everything. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm on time. She's like, if you're on time, you're late. That's just her mentality. So she was like, my uncle always taught me the 5 P's. So ever since we got married, that the 5 P's might as well be plastered on our walls in our home, just making sure that we do everything properly. So that's kind of helped me in a way, because now I do everything ahead of time. If I got to do something 6 months from now, I'm going to start working on it now. And one example is, we did camps this summer. And if you've been to Illinois youth camps, you can't just wing camps. Like, you know, if you are winging camps, you're probably not the right guy to do this job. So there's a lot of preparation that goes into making these events successful, and a lot of stuff that doesn't go noticed, or people just pass it by. They just magically think these events just happen out of nowhere, out of the blue. I've had students tell me, they're like, man, this is pretty cool. I mean, how long does it take you guys to do this? Not really knowing all the conference calls, all the appointments, all the meetings that we had to make these things happen. Brother Wells, you know what I'm talking about. So they're like, oh, really? We thought we kind of just showed up and we just had church. I was like, no, you don't just show up. There's a lot more to it. There's preparation. You know, when we put anybody like hamburgers on the grill? Yeah? You don't just cut the thing of ground beef up and drop it on the grill. Amen. Because then it just starts falling and tearing apart. You got to, you know, put some barbecue sauce in there, some onion, jalapenos, you know, mix it up a little bit, prepare it. Some of you, I lost you when I said barbecue sauce. That's what I use. Some of you use breadcrumbs or whatever to make it stick. I use barbecue sauce. I'm weird. But you just got to make sure you prepare it right to make sure that it's ready for when it's showtime, you know, when you're ready to put it on your patty, on your bun. You don't want it falling apart. So it's vital to prepare. And that's exactly what John was doing when he came to this earth. So if a lot of us think of, like, we know Jesus as a miraculous birth, you know, the Virgin Mary and all this and stuff. But Elizabeth was also just a miraculous birth, just like Jesus was. You know, she was married for years and all that stuff, but she couldn't have a baby. So it said, hey, you're going to have a baby, you know, this and that. So John the Baptist was also a miracle baby. For her. So, but she knew, she said, because his dad had an encounter with an angel and said, hey, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name his name John, and he's going to do great things. And it's told, and Isaiah prophesied about it, that, hey, there is one that's going to come that's going to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. Even Jesus said, there is none greater than John the Baptist. So he knew that John the Baptist, he was the real deal. I mean, this guy, if you could think of, in my opinion, if you could think of cavemen, that was John the Baptist back in the day. You know, this burly guy, you know, just out there in the wild, you know, doing his thing. Nobody dares to say anything to him because he'd probably break him in half somewhere. You know, that's John the Baptist. He was the one that was destined to prepare the way for Jesus Christ when he came. So John the Baptist's message was of repentance. He would come and he would preach and he would prepare the hearts and the minds of the believers that were coming into the gospel. But he said, hey, you know what? I baptize you with repentance. I baptize you unto repentance and letting you know, like, hey, there is something here that I'm preaching to you, but don't just be settled with this. There is something more to come. And there's somebody that comes after me who I'm preparing the way for that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. I'm unworthy to untie his shoes. That's how holy he is. This is a righteous, holy God that's coming. But I'm just preparing the way for him. So don't focus on me, but focus on what I'm telling you, on this process that's getting ready to begin with Jesus Christ when he comes. So John was in charge of preparing it. So if you're in charge of preparing something, you are witnessing everything firsthand, what is going on. So all the miracles, all everything that was going on, you know, all when he started to experience the ministry of Jesus Christ, it's like he recognized Jesus. It doesn't really quite say what it is that was about Jesus that made him recognizable to John, but he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I don't know if he saw him before or what it was, but it's, "Behold the Lamb of God. Here he comes." And then the dove descends on him when he's baptized, and that's a confirmation from God to John that says, "This is the Messiah, John. This is who I spoke about. This is who you're preparing the way for." So anything that he's doing, John, you have to make sure that you're preparing it for him. Make it easier. Make it smoother. Make it facilitate for him to be able to operate and do what I've called him to do on this earth. But I want you, John, to prepare the way. I know he's going to get all the credit. I know he's going to get all the glory, all the praise, all the worship, because that's who he is. That's God. But John, you've got a task to prepare. And you must do that with all of your might. If you were to ask John, "Hey, John, you're going to be in prison because you're preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Are you willing to do that?" I probably would have been, "Hey, I'll stop right here. You know, my preparation is over." But John, he didn't think of it that way. This was his lifestyle. This was who he was. His name is John, but we reference him as John the Baptist because he was just baptizing people into repentance. He was preaching the word of God. He knew the miracle signs and wonders that God was doing. So that is exactly what he was doing. But then John ends up in jail. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, "Hey, I've done so much for this guy that's outside. He's confirmed his word to me. He's confirmed, God has confirmed who he is. I know who he is." But it's like a little bit of doubt, just a little bit, creeped in the life of John. And I don't blame him. It was a dark, cold cell that he was in. He wasn't sure what the outcome was going to be. He wasn't sure what tomorrow held for him. All he knew is that he was alone. He felt abandoned. He was just sitting there waiting for something to happen. Maybe they had very little food, little water. And he was just kind of questioning everything. So he asked two of his disciples to come and said, "Hey, I want you to go ask Jesus. Are you the one, or should we wait for somebody else?" So John wanted to know. I think it was a very selfish thing of John to ask that question, because he wanted to know, has everything that I've done worth it? Are you the one that I invested my whole life into, and are you going to fulfill your plan? Or am I going to get out of here and do it again? Because his goal was to prepare the way, and if this was not the Messiah, John's duty was not fulfilled. John's duty would not have been accomplished if this was not the Messiah, because his goal on this earth was to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. But being so that this was Jesus, his response could have simply been, "Yes, I am. This is who I am, John. I am the Messiah." But he said instead, "Go tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. But more than anything, the good news is being preached to all the people that are listening." So when John, I could only imagine this emotion that would come over John when he would hear this response. Not an emotion of, oh, yay, I'm getting out of here, or, hey, yeah, there's a sentence that's not going to be for me, I'm innocent, and all that stuff. But there was an emotion of confirmation that said, hey, you know what, everything that I have done up to this point has been worth it. Everything that I've invested into is going to reap its success. Why? Because I fulfilled my duty. God is here, and the Messiah is walking, and he's going to save people because of what I've done. And that was what he was thinking. John knew, and he was aware that he was not getting out of there. But yet, he was so excited for the future. He was there just hoping. You know, if you're in, I've never been in jail, so if you have been, don't raise your hand, okay? But if you've ever been in jail, I'm sure you're looking for the day where you get to get out. And, I mean, in some movies, you know, I've seen it where the guys, you know, they get out of jail and they fall on their knees and they start kissing the ground, you know, because they're free at last. And they take a big breath air, you know, and just fresh air is in, you know, and they just go out and they have a huge meal because they're free. You know, John could have been looking for all that. But instead, the peace that surpasses all understanding flooded that cell and said, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. So I've come this morning to tell you all that a lot of times we are stuck in a cell. We're stuck in a cold, dark place. I'm not saying it's necessarily bad, but we have just done so much for Jesus. We have labored and preached and fought and just been there and faithful and consistent for 10, 15, 20, 35 years. And after all that's going on, we just need a little confirmation from Jesus Christ that, hey, everything that you've done, all the years that you've invested, all the labor that you've done for the Church of Sandwich and those neighborhoods and your families and your kids, it's not in vain. Because Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The word of God that you're instilling in their hearts is going to give fruit. Amen? Amen. And that is exactly where you find yourself today. Amen. I know this season may have been tough. I know that it's difficult for some. And I know that God is going to do incredible things. I hate to put it in this perspective, but it's as if you're waiting for something to happen. You're waiting for a confirmation from God. You're waiting for God to say, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. Hey, you know what? I know there seems to be no hope for you. I know you're struggling. I know you're scared. I know that there's uncertainty of what's going to happen. But all of a sudden, there comes a unanimous vote to vote in a new pastor. And it says, hey, you know what? I am with you. I'm faithful to you. The church in Sandwich is going to move forward. The church here is going to be a lighthouse, a ray of hope into your community. Why? Because what you're doing is not simply for those that are out there, but it's for the King of Kings. You're preparing the way for those that are to come. You're preparing the way for the Johnsons to come in and step foot in this place and say, hey, you know what? We're going to the next dimension. We're going to a new future. We're going beyond. We're going to break barriers and break chains in this city. We're going to build buildings and expand walls because everything that we've done is worth it. Everything that we've invested in is worth it. Everything that you've done to prepare this church, the board, everybody that's been involved in this process, what you've done is preparing the way for what God is going to do in 2019 and going forward in the First Church of Sandwich. Why? Because it's the Messiah that resides here. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I know it's difficult to prepare without knowing what's coming in the future. But there is always certainty in the Word of God. In my short life that I've had, I call 27 years old short, the greatest impact that God has made in my life is not in a service. And don't get me wrong. It's not at general conference. It's not at youth conference, youth convention, North American Youth Congress. But the greatest moments in my life is when I felt that I was stuck in that jail cell. When I felt like, God, I'm so alone. I don't know what's going on. I'm uncertain, God. I'm not necessarily doubting you, Lord, but everything around me points at the fact that I don't have a future. That I don't have security. I don't know what's next, God. And I've cried out to God, and he just wraps his arms around me, and I begin to identify with John the Baptist that he felt like, God, it's going to be okay. I don't quite understand it all, but it's going to be okay. And I know there's somebody in this place that you just feel so worthless, that you just feel like you're just going through the motions. You're just, it's like a hamster in a wheel, just continual, no forward progress, just spinning, just getting tired and exhausted. But I want to remind you that you are preparing the way. There is nothing less exciting. There is nothing better than somebody that is faithfully willing to prepare the way. Why? Because yes, you have a pastor, but the church is not built on a pastor. The church is built on faithful members that are preparing every single week, every service, every activity, every event, every evangelism, every outreach, every van, every kids ministry thing, every youth ministry thing that you take your kids on. It's preparing. You're preparing the way. And there is nothing greater than that. You're making an impact. You're making a difference in their life. There is a quote that I believe it was Brother Victor Jackson that said it. When preparation and opportunity meet, it births success. You prepare your hearts every day. You prepare every week, and you've invited people. And you're like, well, God, I've invited 900 people, Lord, and none of them show up. Just keep preparing. Keep sowing seed. Keep casting out invitations to those friends and family members and community members and the coffee shop people around you and the restaurant waitress. Just keep going. Because there will come a day. I don't know when. I can't tell you when, but there will come a day when that one person that you invite is going through just hell on earth in their home. And they're like, hey, I was waiting for somebody. I was waiting for you. I know you've asked me so many other times to come, and I've always said no. But at this time, I was actually praying and hoping that you would show up and just extend that invitation to your church once again, because I want to go. But I don't want to show up uninvited. So I just felt better if you would just come and invite me. And then you extend that invitation to them. And they come, and God does the miraculous and fills them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they are baptized in Jesus' name. And God will do more in their life in one service and in one instant than you could ever imagine. Why? Because you are preparing the way. You are preparing the way for them to come. You don't see the big picture right now. And that's okay. I think it's better that way. I think God has intended for us that way. Because if we see the big picture, we have the tendency to unplug because we know what's going to be the result. And oh, if we unplug, it's fine because somebody else will take care of it. And it'll get done eventually. But by simply focusing in on what we're doing, we begin to see what needs to be done. We begin to see what has to be done, and we begin to take action. We begin to prepare the way. We begin to make sure that everything, back in the days when royalty would make their, when they would take their trips and go to far places, they would always send a crew ahead of them to make sure that their journey, their path, the direction that they were going in was going to be safe, that it was going to be smooth, that it was going to be able for their chariots and whatever they traveled in to pass by. So they realized the importance of people that were willing to prepare. And I believe, and just from what I've gathered, from what I see here, this is a church that's prepared. This is a church with members that are invested in the preparation of the kingdom of God. There is nobody trying to take authority here and pull a fast one over here and do this for their own personal gain. But I just sense a spirit of unity that says, hey, you know what? I'm not sure what's going on next. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But hey, Brother Wells, we're going to come together and we're going to pray and we're going to prepare for what God has in store. I don't understand it, but like he said earlier, it's everything has just been so seamless. And it's not by accident, but it's because there are people here that genuinely have a desire to serve God and to see the kingdom expanded and come to worship the Lord and desire to see this city change. They're willing to prepare without getting the reward. John's biggest reward, in my opinion, was just knowing Jesus. John realized, hey, this man that I spent time with this whole time indeed is the Savior. Growing up in my personal home, I had a mom and a dad home. Don't get me wrong. My mom was always working. You know, never really had her around. And then my stepdad, he was there. We didn't have the best of relationship, you know, and our relationship has gotten better over the years with my dad. My mom passed away a few years ago. But during the whole process of my mom passing away, God spoke to me before it even happened. He said, and I might have shared with you guys this already, but he said, Isaac, your mom is going to die. And I said, well, it's like it brought me to that cell where John was. Everything that I knew, although I may not have been so close with my mom as much as I wanted to, because I've never really been like the actual baby, you know, like the baby of the family. Like, I am the youngest, but I don't have the attachment of the baby to the family, to the mom. But God said, Isaac, your mom is going to die. She's not going to make it. She's got cancer. And that was before she ever went and got tested for cancer. And I was like, okay, well, I can't tell this to anybody because they're all going to think I'm crazy. They don't quite understand what's going on. So my mom went to the hospital and they told her she had pneumonia. And then we came home and then she's like, yeah, I've got pneumonia. They gave me some medicine, whatever. And still just, you know, locked my lips, didn't say a word. And then she just did not get better. She went back to the hospital and they said, ma'am, you have stage 4 cancer. We don't know how long you're going to live. Within 3 months, my mom passed away. We were devastated. I was in that cell. Although God had spoken to me, although God had confirmed to me just how he had confirmed his word to John the Baptist, you could be in that cell, but God's still speaking to you. But that doesn't mean you're not going to feel the emotions and just the coldness of that cell. Just because you're with God doesn't mean you're exempt from feeling what this world feels. It doesn't mean you don't have to walk this world. It doesn't mean you don't have to go through life in general. But you will. But in that moment, the fact that I knew God and held on to his hand and his word, because I would just dig into the word and I needed an answer. I didn't look for a counsel. I didn't look for a pastor. I didn't look for a mentor. I just looked for his word. I looked for what I knew of God. I drew from the past experiences that I had with God. And I said, hey, Lord, I know I don't quite get it, but you have done enough in my life. You have confirmed enough things in my spirit over the years for me to draw back and say, hey, you know what, God, there is enough here. I know you, and that is enough for what's coming here, God. So I trust in you. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen to my family anymore now that my mom is gone, God, but I trust you, Lord, because you have prepared me for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Somebody, why don't you just stand right now? Hallelujah. I feel the Lord is getting ready to speak to somebody's heart. Lord, atarabo koria taia rabosata. Iaralabo koratai. My God. Hallelujah. I know there's uncertainty, young person. I know that you feel unworthy at school and you just want to fit in and you don't quite understand why people don't take you the same way as anybody else. But let me tell you that there is a Spirit of God that is living inside of you. There is a Spirit of God that walks beside you in your school because you've prepared your heart, you've prepared your mind, and you're ready for Him to do the miraculous in your life. You may not understand it all right now, but you have God in your favor and you have God in your corner. Young person, I need you to believe me that right now, there is nothing that this world has to offer you that is worth giving up this walk with Him that you've got now. Adult, I know it's been plenty of years since you've spoken in tongues. I know it's been years since you've cried out for God and you feel like you're stuck in a rut and in a hole. But let me tell you that in that prison, there is a name that is above every name. There is a name by which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Hallelujah. There is a name that is willing to bring you out of that and give you comfort and joy. There's peace of mind and purity. Hallelujah, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah, this altar is open if you want to come, but I want to ask the elders as well to come and pray for those that are joining this altar. I want to ask that the elders just lay your hands on those around you, because you've got scars, you've got testimonies, you've got stories of the faithfulness of God that the younger generations may not have, but you are living testimony of what it means to prepare the way. You're a living testimony of what it means to just work diligently and faithfully for the kingdom. Thank you. we see these men, they just take care of the church. You know, they're the church board. But they are preparing the way. They carry the burden of this church. They're the future of the church is in their heart. If you would allow me to use the illustration, they're the superintendents of this construction project. They care for the church. And I want the rest of the church to just get as close as you can. And we're going to pray together that God would just connect you, not just to the heartbeat of the board and of the pastor, but connect you to the church, connect you to the kingdom of God for the next season, because God's going to need a strong foundation to be built. God's going to need for parts to come together and make up this structure of the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, a double portion of your spirit to fall upon this building, upon this church, upon these members, God, upon this board, God, so that they may lead, God, with the spirit of God, that they may lead, Lord, with a desire for growth and revival in the future at hand, God. I pray, Lord God, that you give them guidance and direction and peace of mind. I pray that you instruct them, God, to be a support system for the church, oh God, that they may buy in, oh God, and be connected to these members, oh Lord, that they may be connected as one piece, God, that they may come together into your body, oh Lord, that they may all do their own jobs and their own duties, Lord, to prepare this building, prepare the church, prepare the kingdom, prepare the Sunday school rooms and the youth classes and the adult classes, God. I pray that you bind them together right now by the authority of the Word and the Spirit of God. Lord, we speak your name as a banner. Lord, I pray that this church may be a lighthouse, that this church may be a ray of hope and light, that this church, God, may make a difference. It would reach into the community to make an impact, oh God, and draw near, God. Let there be a revival that breaks out in this place, oh Lord, that is not based on the pastor that's coming in, but on the church that is here, Lord, that are willing to invest, that are willing to prepare, that are willing to move forward, oh God. I pray that your blessing and your honor and your provision be upon this church, upon this kingdom, oh God. Hallelujah. We pray for the pastors that are coming in, Lord. I pray that there may be a connection, oh God, an instantaneous move of the Holy Ghost that binds their spirits together, for there to be a revival, for there to be excessive growth in this church. In the name of Jesus, there's power and authority and dominion in the name of the Lord. God, we release the gift of faith. We release the gift of evangelism, Lord. We break every chain, every bent barrier in the city of Sandwich, God. We break strongholds. We come against any oppression and any depression, oh God. Any spiritual war that is fighting and waging right now, God. We speak victory in the name of Jesus. We speak power, God. We speak liberty, God, for this church to move upon the community, Lord, and to reach where it's never reached before, to bring in people that's never come before. Hallelujah. Lord, we speak your name of the Lord. Jesus, I love you. Lord, hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Montal. Thank you, Jesus. I stand in awe of you, Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Support them in your prayers, in your attendance, in your involvement. Don't think it's going to rest upon their shoulders. It's going to rest upon your shoulders. You are the body of believers, and you need each other. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm so thankful to see your hand at work. Confidence, God, and assurance. I know this is your church, God. These are your people. I'm so grateful to have been a part of the process, the preparation, Lord, but only you know truly what lies ahead. God, let him act in good faith, God, to support and get behind, press in, not to sit back now once the election has happened and just expect pastor to do it. Lord, let them, God, get behind and press forward, God. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. Blessed be your holy, precious name. I bless you for being in service here this morning. I invite you back at 6 o'clock for corporate prayer together. We continue to pray concerning everything in this church moving forward. And pray for the Johnsons. I ask you to also pray for my family as we attempt to sell our home and transition back to Florida. Meet with us at 6 o'clock for an hour of corporate prayer this evening. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.